So this is episode four on our podcast. I'm going to start off with the news. So we talked about a bit about this in one of our other episodes, but Amazon Prime reaches 180 million subscribers in the US, which is half of the population. What do you think the ramifications of such a huge figure like that is? What is the what does that mean for Amazon? What does it mean for small Amazon shops?
Look, I mean, I've read that over half of commerce intent searches start on Amazon in the US. So to me, like, if you're not listed on Amazon, it's actually bonkers. Like, you can have a e-commerce brand, have your Shopify store, have everything working there, but I think it has to be like a core part of your strategy. I don't know that the world where you're exclusively listed on Amazon anymore, I don't know if that makes so much sense, but it's not so difficult now to, I'm an advisor to an Amazon agency called AMZ Trek, and it's run by this brilliant guy, Marlon, and like, he doesn't charge very much to get people just set up and listed on Amazon and then like managing their listings. Like, I've seen, he took a brand that I introduced him to. They weren't listed on Amazon, but they're a really successful D2C Shopify brand.
Yeah.
Nothing on Amazon. 3 months later, $250,000 a month on Amazon. Like, enormous. And that was just like predominantly or exclusively brand search for their brand already happening on Amazon. They were just going to lose it. They were just losing that to somebody else. So I think that's the thing that I'd encourage people who are like, I'm not on Amazon. Oh, I'm going to lose the direct customer relationship. Like, I don't know about that. There's things that you can do, like, or just dropping inserts into packages. You got to be a little bit careful about that. But let's not pretend that Amazon's not going to ultimately come out with their own suite of tools. They already have, and they're getting better. They're kind of not great right now. They're going to get better over time on actual, like, customer re-engagement. So I guarantee if you're one of those brands that's like, oh, we don't want to be on Amazon, people are searching for your brand on Amazon. They're not seeing you come up, or you're being sold by some reseller who's just bought your product retail or on sale and is selling it for more on Amazon. They're cleaning up. And then you're exposing other people to realize, oh, this category is crushing it on TikTok, on Shopify. No one's doing it on Amazon. I'll just go do it. So now you've seeded that ground. I think it's crazy. So I just think you should be on there.
Yeah, agreed. Do you think you should start there, or you should eventually be on that?
I don't think there's any right or wrong way. But if you know your way around Amazon, then I don't need to tell you to start there. But I think if predominantly people who are listening to this are probably people who've got like an e-commerce business.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, if you're not listed on Amazon because you've got some sort of preconceived notion around the implications for your business, it's not too difficult operationally to do it anymore. So you're not going to add a tremendous amount of operational burden. Even just like, there's tons of agencies out there. Like, anyone can help you with this. It's just, there's tons of latent demand that you should just be kind of mopping up.
Agreed. Another massive player, not as big as Amazon, is Shein.
Shein's
now looking to IPO for $50 billion.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Shein and Temu, their effects on the market, their success?
So I think they're reliant on the current state of the postal union, right? We've got like the UPU, the International basically Postal Union, which still classifies, kind of totally butcher the classifications, but they've basically got China classified as like a lower tier country that effectively sort of requires subsidification. And that's sort of allowed, you can see stuff on Temu, like it doesn't fundamentally make sense why you can buy products like a phone case for like €2, $2 on Temu. It's being manufactured and shipped, like that's being subsidized. Yeah. So it's physically not possible for those shipments to happen. So those businesses are interesting, but it feels to me like there's massive platform risk at some country, likely the U.S., to go in and really put pressure on the postal union.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Trump's talked about. Definitely not advocating necessarily for all the other stuff that he talks about. But I think any American president is eventually going to get to a point where there's going to be pressure put on the postal union to reclassify China. And I think at that point, this like drop ship direct out of China or it shows up with all the, like, you know, if anyone who's shopped on Shein or Temu, you know, it shows up with like tons of Chinese shipping labels and stuff on it. Like, it's just going through this robust subsidized shipping.
Who's subsidizing it? The Chinese government?
I think it's probably, you really don't know at the end of the day, like, could be the venture capitalists who put money into Shein and Temu as well. Think about all the billions and billions of dollars that have gone into those. Remember when, like, Uber first came out and Uber is unbelievably cheap because VCs were paying for your Uber rides. I think we're likely seeing just, who's to say exactly who's paying for it, but someone else is paying for your $2 phone case.
Yeah.
So whenever that incentive structure goes away, what does the pricing competitiveness end up looking like? I don't know, but also they've just got enormous customer base metrics. So I think there's value there. It's not that interesting for any e-commerce merchants who are likely listening to this. In fact, it's competitive to them. But there's a world where Temu just ends up kind of replacing some of the demand for truly commoditized stuff on Amazon. Maybe it just becomes Amazon's where you go if you need stuff in a day or two, and Temu is where you go if you need
20-40 days,
and it's not urgent. Like, even if it shows up and it's not as advertised, you're okay with that.
Yeah, you're like, I didn't get the job.
That's fine.
It's an ice tray.
Totally. Okay. I know a lot of people, my friends are all getting married this summer, and they all ordered their kind of like the wedding glasses, like the stuff that you know is going to get broken or a meat trash thrown out. Yeah. Like any of that stuff, the people who are on it are ordering stuff, just bundles of stuff. I'm not making a comment on the environmental implications because they're not good.
Yeah.
But they're just ordering bundles and bundles. Everyone has just bundles of stuff on Temu, knowing that even if you over-order to account for the fact that some of it's going to be trash, some of it won't show up, some of it will be late, you're still saving tons of money relative to Amazon.
So another massive trend that I haven't researched too much, but I saw heaps of news recently, is like buy now, pay later, and how that has developed. Those companies have changed, especially because we're across the hall from Klarna over there.
Oh, we are.
And I know Afterpay is an Aussie one that I think they IPO'd at some point, maybe a year or two ago, even longer.
But no, there's a firm, I think American.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think the impact of that? I mean, that used to be much more popular 2-3 years ago, especially during COVID. How has that changed over time? How are you seeing it change for e-commerce business owners?
Yeah, I've seen it become adopted. I think it makes larger purchases more accessible. I begin to worry, and this is just more of like a, I'm not an economist, but more of a macroeconomic kind of comment, is do we end up with a tremendous amount of sort of hidden consumer debt?
Yeah.
Last time,
because things don't come up on
not necessarily, not in the conventional places that people are checking. So I do wonder how much kind of consumer debt is being hidden
on top of the massive amounts of debt
that is already not hidden.
American,
so that, I think there are certain products, I'm glad that they're becoming more accessible to people. Yeah. I think the cool thing is with some of those platforms is they put the burden of the financing on merchants. So it's like, hey, if you merchant want to be able to sell a product to someone that it otherwise paying $500 up front wouldn't be accessible to them, you as a merchant can offer 0% interest rates. Now it means that you, the merchant, are paying a firm a little bit more, but not a tremendous amount more than you are to a payment processor. So I think it makes sense for certain product categories. I think we're going to see a lot of willingness from brands to take on the burden of the interest payments, so to speak, by paying a larger cut. But now we're just getting into like payment processor hell, right? We're getting back. And remember in like early e-commerce, there were all the different like buy buttons as well.
15 different buttons.
Totally. And now we're getting back into it. People have like Shop Pay, Amazon Pay. They've got whatever BNPL, maybe multiple BNPLs that you can go through. So I wonder what kind of impact that's going to start having on conversion rates. That actually just adding buy buttons. We've seen tons of studies show that that drops conversion rates. So I think it's something that you got to A/B test if you're a brand, certainly with a higher AOV.
Yeah, cool. Agreed. Cool. So let's jump into some of the small deals of this week. We have three. First one is a homeware business.
Okay.
Niche. This business has been listed for a while. 1.2 million rev, 300k net profit, 800k listing price, 5 years in business.
So low multiple.
Yeah, I mean, it was listed on Flipper.
Okay, the due diligence is screenshots of their Shopify. Great.
That is a major red flag. They're doing massive homeware ovens and stuff. So, like, the AOV is probably high.
Their conversion rate is under 0.5%.
Yeah. $16,000.
So, this is drop shipping.
100%. Dishwashers.
It's everything. Okay. So, the first project, we're drop shipping a bunch of stuff. Where are they getting their traffic? Because they have almost 250,000 visits over the last year. Their conversion rate is under 0.5%. They've clearly got some sort of Amazon plugin going on here as well. They've got draft orders, so people are reaching out. Those are basically people who are reaching out. They're making up an order on the back end of Shopify, sending it. The person is completing that order. And just over 50% of their revenue is coming in from people just coming through the site, dragger. And then they've got...
This data is only 2 years old.
Excellent point. I am looking at a two-year-old screenshot for a business that is still listed right now.
And it was going downhill back then.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And this is something, this was a recent listing. So, like, these are businesses that were listed, did well during COVID, failed after COVID, and they're still trying to sell. And this is also a trend. So many businesses, like, I mean, you, I don't need to tell you, but, like, there's still, like, a 30, 40% of businesses listed that are COVID era businesses. No. They're like, we can let this up. No. And you're not even, you don't even show. And they only show us the 2020, 21, 22 numbers because they're of some repute.
Because it's terrible after.
Yeah. Because it's terrible, terrible after. Like, number the potential you've seen of irrelevant.
No.
Completely irrelevant.
So, okay, where's this listed?
So it wasn't listed on Flipper, but they had very limited information.
Okay.
But safe to say, this, like many other businesses, like this, especially in the highway niche, is a coding business that will slowly peter out and die.
Yeah.
Unless something changes from the owner.
Yeah. Generally, if you're looking at, in 2024, drop shipping for home goods, drop shipping stores for home goods businesses, if you're thinking about buying one and you're desperate to get into whatever category it is that you found, probably just build it.
Yeah.
Probably just build it. It's going to
cost not, it's not worth 800K. Or even 100K.
To... No, that would be a gift to the seller.
So here's a listing from a platform that we haven't looked at yet, Acquire.com.
Okay.
Now, I
have usually for software stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh. Usually you're very small software businesses. Sometimes Shopify's businesses are listed there. Their main weakness on Acquire is insane multiples, just out of this world in multiples. Like this business, 7.3 multiple.
7.3 on profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4.4 asking, 4.4 mil asking price, 6.3 rev, and 600K net profit. They do fashion, accessories, clothing. Some of the designs are unique, if I recall correctly. But they have limited the... There used to be further information. Okay, some of the data is here, but it's pretty heavily seasonal.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine. It's a UK-based business. UK-focused business as well. But yeah, I mean, there are December and... December and November are pretty much the whole year.
Yeah, I think we can probably leave it at don't buy a seasonal apparel business.
Apparel in general.
Apparel's tough. Like, if you... There are some incredible apparel businesses. A friend of mine... owns and runs Unbound Merino, which has been around for like now 10 years. They've got actual product level innovation. They've got a differentiated brand.
But it's fickle. Like, you need to be up to date with trends. You need to be coming up with your own unique design.
Or you have to take a major stand on one particular kind of material. So you've got like your Merino wool companies that really specialize into, okay, we make Merino wool for kind of digital nomads, that's sort of like Unbound. Or you've got Icebreaker, which is like, we make Merino wool. They're obviously not just D2C exclusive. I think they exited to whatever company owns North Face, but like that's Merino wool products for outdoorsy people. Like you really got to figure out what is that niche? What's the particular perspective that you're taking? What I'm looking at when I read this, they got coats, light jackets, women's coats, cargo pants, jeans, flares, hoodies, fleece pants, tracksuits.
In different sizes, in different colors too.
If they're buying that inventory, that's a nightmare to manage the inventory. If they're drop shipping, now, okay, great. You bought a apparel drop shipping brand for 7 times profit. best of luck to you.
Yeah.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Apparel, generally, I advise my buyers against, which means, like, because there used to be many more apparel businesses listed. Not as popular anymore. Which I honestly just contribute to how tough it is to be in that niche, stay in that niche. And also, like, if you ask someone who doesn't know e-commerce what business they would start, they would say some apparel stuff, especially women. And you're like, take 30 seconds to research how tough that niche is.
Totally.
You're like, I'll try something else. And it's better.
I'd also say, look at the way that this listing is constructed. This just, it doesn't, what I'm about to say, I think this is a bad business to buy, but like in general, what I'm about to say doesn't necessarily mean that something's a bad business to buy. It just means that the listing site or the person who listed it or the vendor has not paid that close attention. But trailing 12 months revenue listed at 6.3 million. And then here's the kicker, dude. Listing annual recurring revenue, A, the number is different, 7.5 million. But if you're an e-commerce brand that does one-time sales and you've got something, when you're trying to sell your business and you're trying to position your revenue as annual recurring revenue, I immediately don't trust you.
Every single micro-acquired business just puts trailing 12 months net profit as ARR.
But like ARR is a
it's not like
a SaaS number.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like,
or like subscription, but even like I don't know that ARR is really fundamentally a trustworthy number for e-commerce. So
They just haven't. They're like, oh, we're not going to update. Instead of saying you're on, make an option for a different tab to say annual recurring revenue or
no
net profit.
Someone like, just listening to this. If this is something baked into your platform, not everything is ARR. You should let it be totaled.
Cool.
It just makes me really question the integrity of the listing. Even if it was a great listing, which this one's not.
Cool. So let's go on to the big deal. Holy
deal. Oh my goodness. What is this kind of brand?
If you go back to the doctor's info pack here.
Okay.
So it is essentially an aggregator.
It is an aggregator.
Yeah.
This is a very big business to be getting sold this way.
By this broker.
I don't know much about this broker.
They aren't... I won't say anything.
Okay. generally, we're talking like, this is a nine-figure acquisition.
JP Morgan should be doing this deal.
Yeah.
So the listing price is $100 million... on an annual profit of $5 million.
First off, about nuts.
And about. I've sold businesses with $5 million of net profit. It wasn't a nine-figure business.
They're doing $113 million of revenue.
Those margins are not good.
Those are very bad.
So let's dive into it. So here's some of the main points. Top 30 Amazon seller.
So it's a big-time Amazon business.
Yes. Yeah. Bootstrap and profitable since 2007, 35 trademarks, 17 patents.
Okay. 12 brands,
90% US traffic, open to equity purchase, SaaS and fulfillment platform that they say they have. We'll dive into that. The ones we're going to stay on, owners willing to stay on for significant transition. Well, for a business of this size, I would expect that. Now, if you look at the financials, like just at a quick overview, since 2020, last year.
That is August, not a good trend line.
Bad trend line.
Wow.
The net profit margin has increased in 1 month, which was last...
No. April. We're recording this in June.
Yeah, I was going to see if... their margin, they used to get about 10% last year. So that is...
Why is it too... Oh, no, it's in June. There was amazing... Yeah, this net margin, the fact that in December... I guess it could just come down to advertising costs, right? We're looking at a net margin in December 2023 of under 2%. I can't tell. It's probably somewhere between 1% and 2% based on this chart. And then we're looking at a net profit margin this April of 8%. So I imagine that a lot of this has to do with advertising.
I don't believe that with this graph, they've collated all the data, all the revenue, all the data, and all the traffic on this graph that we see to come up in this graph. Or they're just using one brand. I think I need to know exactly what this graph is actually graphing.
I think, like, at the end of the day, they're primarily a marketplace seller, and we've got, let's say, an average of 75,000 in traffic from April to September of last year. And it has since then decreased every single month.
Yeah.
Like, traffic is down by about 15%, 20%. Like, for a business of this size, to be going up and asking for 20 times profit margin, profit multiple, I want to say, when it's declining.
Maybe peak COVID, maybe peak aggregated, then. Maybe I would, the only reason I would even take this on personally, first thing I'd say is, dude, what's going on? Tell me that. What's the spec here? Secondly, go and call all the other aggregators. They will buy you for a quarter of this.
Yeah.
And that's it. If they don't want to do it, just keep trying to make your business profitable and wait 4 years. Maybe a miracle will happen.
So they're making $5 million in profit a year. That seems like it's terrible profit margins. I can appreciate why this is a business that they want to get out.
Yeah, I'd really like to know how much debt they have, because it's probably a fucking mess.
Dude.
I'd love to see a balance sheet.
And it's not included on
the deck.
On a 9-figure listing.
Yeah.
That's surprising. It's really difficult to pass, like, meaningful ultimate judgments on this without seeing some degree of P&L on balance sheet. Like, we're just at a 9-figure listing looking at freaking charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at this, I'm like, how many, even if they came to me to sell a $100 million brand, you must have gone to the banks. They said no. You must have gone to even, like, brick and mortar business brokers. And now you're like, let me go to online business brokers. Website closers probably said no. Quietline probably said no.
So they're with this one.
So they're with this broker.
Oh, yeah.
Because this broker does not specialize in this sort of list.
Right. Or they've got trademarks and they've got patents. We don't know what kind of patents.
Exactly. And when we don't know, we assume the worst.
Yeah. If it's not called out that it's a utility patent, it's probably a design patent.
Yeah.
Again, I know they're not valueless necessarily, but they're not highly defensible.
Yeah.
Their niches are pretty much everything.
So they've got tons of, you're right. I think it's a, what this looks like is an Amazon bootstrapped, allegedly bootstrapped Amazon aggregator looking to sell for 20 times EBITDA profit, whatever this broker is calling it. They're on revenue of $113 million. They've got $70 million of COGS. So their gross margins are fine. They're not great. They're not that exciting to me. And then they've got annual expenses of $39 million. If that's, like, marketing, I assume, like, how are you getting that much in additional expense?
Not to mention, so I just did a bit of, I wanted to see a news update.
Yeah.
So this is an article from 2-3 months ago. And so, okay, the owner is Indian. The business has most of its workforce in India, but they are based out of Houston, Texas. I haven't been so much ranking among the top 25 sellers on Amazon. Contributing to Walmart, okay.
Very simply.
Are they looking to sell? Why are they doing, like, promotions? That's not, we shouldn't be doing both.
No. Okay, well, they've got the brands listed here because we found the website.
Yeah.
They transform brands, so they've been purchasing brands, I believe.
Yeah. I think I saw one of them, one of the brands for.
Oh, yeah. So they're talking about selling your brand and get the best value on it. So they've been buying up brands.
Like,
it's really, truly across every possible niche. So if you're like a, I don't know. I think we're post Amazon aggregation. That narrative has kind of proved to not. The entire aggregation model is not necessarily something that I'm particularly bullish on at all.
No.
I never was.
No, I didn't think there was some theory behind it that makes sense, but I think in practice it was really difficult to fundamentally make it work. So I don't know. I don't know that I'd go out and buy one. Certainly not. Like, where's this 20 times profit coming from? That's bananas.
Each of these businesses individually worth maybe 2x. Like, this business, I don't understand what they do. Everything. They do shoes and they also do chairs.
They're all just like kind of unbranded
dropshipping garbage.
Yeah, just like commoditized.
That's the dude who owns it.
Okay. I mean, good for him for building this business. Like, it's impressive that it's been built. Clearly, like, a really talented entrepreneur to be able to even manage a team of that size. It's like, insane. This is not easy. There must be some meaningful, like, financial management going on, too, to actually have a business putting, it's profitable, really low margins, net margins. I don't know why this sort of deal is getting... You've got access to, like, all the information. And if you're not getting a balance sheet and P&L, like, right out of the gates, it just... The way the listing's presented worries me. That's, a huge thing. It's just the way that a brand is introduced on a listing, first impressions do matter, and this first impression is not.
Sadie, salesmanship. Where's the salesmanship? Where's the, I remember... One of the first lessons I got in sales was from the biggest Toyota dealership in Australia. And the bloke who owned it was a dad of my friend's. Said, the easiest thing you can do to increase the chance of selling is show them as many photos as possible of the car, even if it's more than isn't necessary. Put as much information as you can down on paper, and your likelihood of selling is going to double. So just show us everything. Just show. Like, what are you trying to hide? Like, don't baby step me into it. If I'm not FDA, nothing's going to change. I'm just going to get further along and be pissed off that you didn't tell me stuff up front.
Totally. They have strong agency relationships. So, yeah, they've got a bunch of agencies, but they've got that entire workforce.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Again, impressive that this business has gotten built. I'm nervous that it's declining.
Yeah.
They're selling it for an enormous multiple. It sort of signals to me that this is no longer an interesting business to hang on to. Because that's a great life.
Yeah.
Own, bootstrapped, $5 million in profit, that is very little you can't do.
Yeah.
When the business, even if you're operationally involved and wanted to get out, you can hire a very well incentivized leadership team to replace yourself.
Most $5 million. Is in India too, so I'm sure the mining's highly insane. And I look at this, and I'm like, 100 mil is so, firstly, stupid number, 999,999,000, but also, I think he's got so much debt and he's servicing so much debt that he's like, I can't even sell for 90 mil.
No.
So I think it's a horror story. And now not even aggregators, another competing aggregator would buy it. I clicked on some of the other brands that were listening to an article about him and they're dead pages.
Okay. So that's not.
So he might have been 12 brands. It could be 12 brands, but four.
That would explain the drop off in traffic if some brains aren't working. I would just say if you're seeing aggregators listed in 2024, things are probably...
What world do we live in where aggregators shit on brokers 4 years ago? We're going to find out. Now we're listing with them.
No.
They're listing with brokers. Oh, my God. What a crazy world. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I have more questions than I think is possible to ever get through.
Yeah.
Patiently on any degree of calls. So that's it.
Okay, so that's episode 4. We will see you in the next episode from somewhere in the world, likely in Europe, with more deals, small deals, big deals, news, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, sounds good.